Turn with me in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3 while I open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the victories that were just read to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you do hear us when we pray. Thank you for the call and the commission of this nation. Thank you for the call and the commission of the church. Thank you for the call and commission that you have set before us. Thank you that you are God. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you. For you are worthy of all praise. Thank you. Father, I just ask that you come and be with us tonight. Open up your word. Father, this message that you've placed upon my heart and you've been just working on within me over the last several weeks, I pray that your grace will be here for me to convey and for our listeners to receive. Settle our hearts, settle our homes, settle our surroundings so that we can receive of the message that you have for us tonight. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the depth of love that you have for us. I thank you for your passion for us. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In 2016, when President Trump was elected, the Lord told me that 2017 would be the year where we would learn to know no bounds. K-N-O-W-N-O, bounds. Know no bounds. Where the intercessors would learn to embrace, to walk in, to flow in his spirit in the authority of the word of God as placed in their lives. We saw that by the election and the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. God has placed his Cyrus in office because we prayed. Why is Trump in office? To eradicate human trafficking from our nation and the world. That's his purpose. To drain the swamp of the filth that feast on our children. They feast on our children through so many activities, it would blow the mind. It starts from the womb through abortion. It starts in schools where they have stripped them of the Word of God and of prayer from our schools. And then they begin to indoctrinate them in a path that will steer them away from God. So they move them up through the educational system. They put them into college where 99.9% of the educators in our colleges today, in our universities, Christian universities included, are extreme liberals, progressives. And their job, their responsibility is to beat the last shred of God out of our children's hearts. We finally have a president in office who wants to begin to reverse this. He wants to drain the swamp of the filth that is in D.C. He wants to drain the swamp of the filth that is in Hollywood. He wants to drain our nation of the sin of feasting on our youth. What did Jesus say? Suffer the little ones not to come unto me. What does that mean? What does it even mean when Jesus says, don't keep the little ones from coming to me? That's a child of God. That's not just these small little children. It's a child of God. Anyone who would ultimately come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior fall into that category. And we have a hierarchy way, way, way up there, and their goal is to strip God from our nation. If they could go and take every single dollar bill and strip and X out God from In God We Trust, they would do it personally. They've got enough other symbols on there to combat that. If they could just strip it, they would. From every sign we have in our nation, every place we have a Ten Commandments, they'd love to tear it down and put up a statue of Baal. You may think I'm being extreme, but what we do here is research. What we do here is find out what is standing in the path of revival, of reformation, of reconciliation. And we have come to know what that is through 19, almost 20 years of the gathering. We have come to learn the efforts being made to destroy the path to God. Because if they can squash it here, in the United States of America, it will ripple across the globe. This is the light right here. This is the beacon of light into the nation. We put more money out into missionaries around the world than any other country in the world. We take the gospel all over the world. We are the beacon of light. And if they can get the right people in office and they can keep the people on the ground from fighting it, they will quash that. I'm telling you the truth. But in 2016, do you know what happened? People came together and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed some more. And the Lord God brought his Cyrus into office. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. But you show me one person on this planet who is, and we can have a conversation about it. I remember when I got saved, I was 10 years old. And do you know how many mistakes I made from the year 10 to 11? Do you know how many times I stumbled? From 11 to 12, I'm hitting puberty. Do you know how many times I stumbled? We've got a man in office who got saved 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. Think about where you were when you accepted the Lord 2 to 3 years into it. Think 10 years into it. But God is refining him. Never before have we had a man in office who endured so much persecution for wanting to do the right thing. Never before. But he has stayed the course. And do you know what helps him do that? Our prayers. 2017, the year where we would learn to know no bounds, where we would stand in the gap for our nation, stand in the gap when they try to send hurricanes our way, and we would stand on the shoreline, and our intercessors would declare the word of the Lord and push back hurricanes. The reason why that is, I have to be able to convey what the Lord has put on my heart, the seriousness of what we're facing. And I want to remind you what God has done over the course of the last 3 years, because it's so crucial to what we're about to walk into. I've been before the Lord all day, and I sat before him just before we were coming on the line, and my heart was beating and my heart was grieving. And you know what I went through the last time we came on this line, as I talked about the baptism of anguish, and my heart was just broken before you, and it's been broken. And he entered the room and he said, I'm here. Just pray for my grace, which is why I prayed for grace to be upon us all tonight. The end of 2017, the Lord said that 2018 would be the year of refining, bringing forth the new breed of believers. And I want to talk to you about that a minute, because the Lord has taken us through some deep and intense refining. I've had people email me, call us. I've had people stop me in elevators at the GOE and say, thank you for your messages. And that doesn't stroke me and it doesn't puff me up, because there's tears in their eyes. And they say, yes, I've been going through the refining. It's been deep, but it's been good. Things I didn't know I had in me, he's been removing. It's been deep. Because he's preparing us to be the new breed of believers. He's preparing us to step into the call that he has for us. He's preparing us for what is coming. We will walk in higher levels of anointing with a mantle that has not yet been released in the earth. It's a new mantle meant for the new breed of believers. It's a powerful mantle. The refining, it's deep, and it's here, and it's now. Does it mean it's over December 31st? No, probably not. I think we will all go through refining until we enter heaven, because we're human. And as we walk along this path, we do tend to pick stuff up that he's got to work out of us. And when you've been on the earth for 50 years, you pick up a few things he needs to get rid of. But when we endure the cleansing of the fuller soap, when we endure the fire of the purification of a precious metal like gold and silver. All the dross comes to the surface and he scoops it away. All the dross represents the filth in us that should not be present. Do you know what happens with that refined silver and gold? The beautiful crowns that we will throw at his feet. When we stand before him in judgment day, we will throw ourselves at his feet. Do you see the beauty of the work he's doing to be close enough to throw ourselves at his feet? So the refining will continue. But it's been exceptionally deep this year because the new breed of believers are about to come forth. And what does that mean? You say, well, that sounds like good news, Ricky. I mean, why has this weighed on you so heavily? Because there's another side to this that I have to share with you, because judgment is coming to the church. Judgment is coming to the house of God. You know, there's been times people will say, why do you stop? Why do you keep praying about the hurricanes? Why do you pray about these disasters? Why do you pray about these things? And we say, because many of them are man-made. But because this is not the judgment we think will bring people to their knees. Because the judgment that's coming, that will bring people to their knees, must first come to the house of God. We forget that as Christians. The Word of God is full of scriptures that tell us that judgment begins at my house. Ezekiel 4:9, what does he say? Go about the city and mark those who cry and sigh. Those are the intercessors. Mark them. And then bring forth my judgment. Mark those that sigh and cry and bring forth my judgment and begin at my sanctuary. What does that tell you? Who are those that sigh and cry? Those are the intercessors. And in the days ahead, that's the new breed of believer. Every new breed of believer will be an intercessor. It's the call. Say, well, I really don't like to cry. We prayed for our men up in Seattle that the Lord would bring tears upon them. And you're thinking, oh, no, 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 the tears aren't for me. And I can promise you, I was there 20 years ago. I fled the building when people started crying. I started crying. I still fled the building because I didn't know what to do with it. My mom in mercy just looked, oh, honey, it'll come. I understand. I didn't like to sigh and cry. But there's beauty in our tears. There's beauty when we weep for the sins of a nation. There's beauty when our tears fill up a cup and cleanse this land of the innocent bloodshed. It's a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. It's an offering, a sacrifice, a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. Every tear sets a child free. Every tear is potential breakthrough. When we talk about human trafficking, abortion, satanic ritual abuse. Every tear is an opportunity to set them free. It combats the innocent bloodshed. Don't be afraid to cry. But when we prayed for our men, some have the groaning. They may not have the tears, but they have the groaning. Don't be afraid to embrace what the Spirit will do through you. Because every new breed of believer will be an intercessor. The end time army will be intercessors. It doesn't matter what office you function in the church, whether you're a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, a preacher, an apostle, a Sunday school teacher. The Lord is going to call those who will lead in the days ahead to be intercessors. Because we've got to be able to tap into the heart of God. The intercessors weep out the heart of God. And if we're going to lead the body of Christ in the days ahead, we must be intercessors. We will be intercessors. So the Lord said, the new breed of believers is about to come forth. And judgment is coming to my house. Why does judgment need to come to the house of God? Why? Because there's corruption in the church. There's compromise in the church. The many sins that the Lord spoke of, the many sins that the prophets speak of, idolatry, compromise, lying, cheating, stealing from the widows and the orphans. It's happening in the church today. Embracing the LGBTQ community. We love the people, but it is a sin, and to marry them, in the church, that's beyond compromise. We have sexual sins in the church. What did Jesus say when he cleaned out the temple? My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. And he cleaned it out, calling the people into a place of holiness. He spent 3 years demonstrating what it meant to live a life of holiness, a life hungering and thirsting for intimacy with God. Showing them intimately what it meant to live for our Creator. When Jesus rose again and he walked with them, and he began to open up the scriptures to them, showing them how he fulfilled what the prophets said, how he fulfilled the scriptures of the Old Testament by his life, his death, and his resurrection. Just before he left them, he appeared. He made it known to them who he was. And they said, did not our spirit burn within us when he opened up the scriptures to us? Your pastor, your teacher, your preacher, whether it's a home church or whether it's a big church, when they reveal the Word of God to you, your spirit should burn within you. because we are called to draw you into the deeper places of God, because the world is surrounding you, waiting to grab hold of any weakness you may have and drag your soul to hell. As ministers, the responsibility is to strengthen you in preparation for any obstacle you will face, so that you have the tools to combat the enemy, so that when judgment comes, you don't lose your faith, but instead you weep for those that are falling, that this judgment that comes might save their soul from hell. Do you realize that when a pastor or a minister is engaged in sin, if it's left unchecked, they will lose their soul? Judgment comes that they might save their soul. In Portland, I gave a message on speaking the truth. I talked about the church and the compromise that's in the church. I talked about the fact that we do not speak the truth to our brethren. We do not tell, oh no, that's good. I'm not talking about a hairdo here. I'm talking about when we step outside the Word of God. Do we go to our brother and we bring the Word of God to them and we say, listen, brother. My sweet sister, listen. You've stumbled. I want to share with you what the Word of God says. Let's get back on the path together. Let's do this together. I am with you. My hand is outstretched to take you by the hand and walk you on this journey. Do we do that? When we see our brother or sister in sin, do we seek to rescue them? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If we aren't willing to reveal the truth to them, and we are aware of the path they're on, God will hold us accountable too. But if left to sit in their unrighteousness, if they don't love the truth, if they don't hunger for the truth, if you come to them to bring that loving correction and they've rejected it, delusion will come, and they're just going to be swept up in this unrighteousness. And you see, that's the thing that's coming to the church. Judgment is coming to the church because they've walked paths of unrighteousness. And the new breed of believers, the intercessors, must rise up. We must rise up and stand in the gap for them. We must pray for them. We must pray for the congregations. We must pray, because I'm telling you the truth, judgment is coming to the house of God first. It's scriptural. And God is not man that he would lie. Where there's corruption, where there's deception, where there's sin, where there's fornication, where there's homosexuality, it's all coming down. And we're going to begin to see that in 2019. As a new breed of believers rises up and takes their place, we're going to see the judgment come down upon the church. And through this process, we're going to begin to see the church redefined. And what does that look like? We're coming out of the organized structure. We're coming out of the time slots that we've been stuck into. We're coming out of the corruption. And we're moving into a house of prayer. We are evicting the den of thieves, the money changers, the corruptors of the house of God. And we are bringing in a house of prayer. A house of righteousness will rise up. Righteousness. Do you know how many people I've talked to in my many years of salvation that said, no, I don't want to go to church. There's too many hypocrites there. God is going to clean out the church. He's going to redefine the church so that when the lost need to find God, they know where to go. Do you realize when a person is lost and hungry and lonely and afraid, many of them don't know where to go because they don't see light emanating from the people of God anymore. They don't see it. God's heart is breaking over this. Breaking over this. Breaking because the children of God are not rising up and taking their place in the kingdom of God. We're not taking a stand against what's happening in our educational system. We're not only not praying, but we're not fighting for righteousness. Fighting for holiness. Fighting for our children. Fighting to see them set free from the bondage that the enemy has over them. Do you know that the enemy has a net over our children? It's a spiritual net given to him by laws like Roe versus Wade, Brown versus the U.S. something, where they took prayer and they taken the Bible out of our school. And I know I'm probably going to get half a dozen emails telling me exactly which laws those are. But I'm telling you, it took place in the 70s, and we took God out of our school. 65, 66, 73, Roe versus Wade. And then what did we do? Evolution. 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 We took God out of creation. And today, what do we see? We see a spiritual net over our children. We've got things like Harry Potter. We've got witchcraft. We've got more shows about witchcraft on television today than I have ever seen in history. You've got cable. You've got 300 channels, and you've got 250 of them that will have cartoons about witchcraft. The enemy is feeding his camp into our children. Did you hear me? The enemy is feeding his camp into our children. And if that's not bad enough, we're sexualizing our children. We're romanticizing vampires and werewolves. Our children are being sacrificed every day. Children are being sacrificed through satanic ritual abuse. 2 million children are involved in human trafficking. Minimum. That estimate could be up to 8 million children sex slavery, a child. So when I say the new breed of believers will weep, what do you think we're weeping over? The spiritual net that is over our children. We've got to break them free from this. And we've got a president in office who finally wants to combat this, to eradicate it. And what is the church doing? They're cursing him. They're not praying for him. Paul said to pray for your leaders. When did he write that? Towards the very end of his life. Do you know who was leader then? Nero. Who was sending the children to the lion's den to be shredded by animals. And he said, pray for your leaders. And we've got a man in office who wants to end human trafficking, who is passing new laws every day to protect our children, who is striving to open up the door for the church to expand. I mean, we've been doing this for a very long time, but the Johnson Amendment, not from us, by the way, but the Johnson Amendment, that's what silenced the 501c3s. If you have a 501c3, you can't speak against a candidate. One of the first things Trump did in office was to overturn that, to allow the churches to speak about what they're passionate about. And yet those very same pastors that now have the freedom are using it to curse our president and bring judgment on him. Who would they rather have? The witch? Hillary? Who is a white witch? She's one of the highest orders. Can you see why judgment is coming to the house of God? Can you see why judgment is coming to the house of God? We stand here and we think, oh, Lord, bring judgment. His people will come and they will seek you. But he can't bring judgment to a nation if he has not first brought it to the house of God. Is not going to be an easy year. The new breed of believers will rise up and take their place. If you have prepared yourself, and if you will continue to prepare yourself, and if you haven't started till today, he will get you there. If you will set your mind like flint to the goal that he puts before you, he will get you there. The new breed of believers will rise up and take their place. They will stand for righteousness. They will live a life of holiness, and they will be intercessors like nothing seen before. They are warriors in the kingdom of God. They know how to wear the armor of God, and you can only wear the armor of God if you are walking in holiness. You want to stand to the Psalm 91 covering? You must walk in holiness. It's conditional, you know. People forget that. I didn't used to know that till I studied it myself. Why is that? Because sin separates us from God. How can we be under the shadow of the Almighty, under his wing, if we're in sin? We will be warriors, bearing his armor, under his covering. Warriors. Intercessors are warriors. And we will rise up in the fullness of what he's called us to walk in. We will not stand for sin against our children. We will fight. And we will weep. We will weep for the church. But I'm telling you, once judgment comes to the house of God and purifies the house of God, a revival can come. A revival, reformation, reconciliation. The seven R's that we pray for, we will begin to see that. So while it's a heavy thought, a heavy subject, my friends, my brothers and sisters, many of you I've wept with on the floors in our gatherings. There is a beautiful thing that will come forth as a result. A beautiful, beautiful thing that will come forth. I'm going to be talking more about the redefined body of Christ, the new breed of believers. I'll be talking more about that in the days ahead. But if you don't think that we're getting close, you know, we're in the end times. That's scary for a lot of people. But I'm here to tell you, that they are talking about a religious treaty being signed. The major religions of the world. We think the false unity movement is bad. Doesn't 2 Thessalonians say there'll be a great falling away? We're seeing it right now in the false unity movement. There's a plan for 2020, 2022, signing a religious treaty. If that doesn't sound like one world religion, I don't know what does. Isn't that what Revelations talks about? Many countries right now are looking to become cashless societies by 2020. Ours is not one of them. The U.S. isn't. But there are nations out there that are trying to put this in place. I know that sounds very scary. But when God purifies his house, a revival is going to be birthed. There's hope, my friend. Hope. Because when revival comes through, people that you've been praying to get saved will fall to their knees because they will see the wonders of the Most High God. He will come through and transform lives. Heal the sick. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. It'll be a powerful move of God. We got to get ready. We've got to be ready. I feel the soberness of this moment. But the grace is here. We've got to be ready. There was a time I was afraid to read the book of Revelation. All the Left Behind movies when I was a kid. Not reading that book. Too scary. It's upon us. And we will be here. We've got to be ready for the harvest because it's coming. The new breed of believers will reap a harvest unlike has ever seen in history. Do you remember in July when I spoke on Tommy Hicks' vision, the manifestation of the sons of God? That's the new breed of believers. If you didn't listen, it's on the website, Prophetic Intercessors Training Ground, worldforjesus.org. Now is the time to prepare to be among the manifestation of the sons of God, because the earth is crying out for their release. The earth is crying out for their release. Because a mighty revival will come forth. Find his vision. Listen to the message. I read most of it. It's a powerful vision. 1966 he had that. Powerful. Everything that the Lord had shown me about the new breed of believers was in that vision that the Lord had given him. I was never so excited and never so frightened in all of my life. It's time. It's time. My friends, it's time. Whatever has been holding you back, set it down. Let God break the chains off of you. Let him break the chains if you're worried about your spouse or your children or your parents or whatever they will think. I'm telling you, you walk in the fullness of what God has for you and they will follow. It may take a while, but they will follow. Because the minute you let the chains fall off of you, the minute you let him break the chains off of you, the chains, the ripple effect of that will impact your family. Because that's how he works. If the enemy can keep you in bondage, he's got your family in bondage. But if the Lord sets you free, the path for the freedom of your family is already in motion. Don't let fear stand in your way of reaching the potential of what God has created you to reach. It's crucial in this hour. It's so crucial. It's so crucial. I'm going to close with this. There's two things that we need to be doing every day. Two things we need to be praying for. You know, we need to be praying, we need to be reading our word, we need to be pressing in, we need to allow him to continue the refining within us. But there's two things that we must, that we must, that we must, without hesitation, pray into every day. We need to pray for our president. Because their goal is to remove him from office. And we pray, and they can't. Did you hear me? We pray, they can't. It's as simple as that. We pray, they can't. Because we're commissioned for this. Why do they want to remove them from office? Because they want to keep the net over our children. They want United States of America to move into the New World Order. They want to be able to take us into the one world religion. One world government, one world religion. That sounds like the very end of days to me. One world monetary system. Do you see the path? That you see what I'm talking about? We got to keep that man in office because those are the things he's fighting against right now. It doesn't matter what our personal opinion is about him. We've got to pray for him. Pray for wisdom, guidance, direction. Ephesians has very good prayers to pray over our leaders. Ephesians chapter 1. Pray it over him. Pray Psalms 91 over him every day. Secondly, we've got to pray. We've got to weep. We've got to pray. We've got to repent over human trafficking. If you understand anything about spiritual warfare, you understand that the blood of the innocent gives the enemy authority of an area. That's why we've been repenting for 19 years. Over the sins and the crimes committed, the innocent blood shed in our nation. It's crucial. It's just crucial. We've got to press in on this issue. We've got to set these children free. We've got to set our children free. I guess I need to throw in a third. We need to pray for the church. There are many issues that I've already mentioned. The compromise, the failure to pray for our leaders, the sin and compromise in the church, the lack of prayer within the church, idolatry, and it goes on and on. If you're not in Joel's army, you should join because we send out prayer points. It will help you. The Lord has been speaking to me over this since the election. The anguish has been so deep. I mentioned last time David Wilkerson's message on baptism of anguish. I encourage you from YouTube and find it on the internet. It's a beautiful message. There's also an article written that kind of condenses it. That was back in 2001, and the Lord was saying, pray. Weep for the sins that are before us. Weep for the sin in the church. 17 years ago. To weep is not a weakness. It's a tremendous strength. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. Heavenly Father, I lift up every person on this line, every person who will listen to this later. I lift them up to you. And I ask, Lord God, that you would help bring clarity and understanding, that your spirit would move upon each of us and bring a depth of understanding and take this message, the heart of this message, and drive it into their hearts. Lord, as I have wept and wept and wept for weeks now over the church, trying to wrap my head around what your spirit is pouring into me. And I ask that you forgive any stumblings in the delivery of what you've placed on my heart. And I ask that you just extend grace to push past it, Lord God. And that you fill in anything that needs to be filled in. And that your people, Lord God, would embrace the call that you're placing on them. That you would give them the baptism of anguish. That you would give them a passion to pray your will in the earth. You were telling your prophets 2,500 years ago. The judgment was coming to the house of God first. You were telling them way back then of the sins that were in the house of God. And we still have those sins and more in the house of God. And our hearts cry out to you. We cry out to you. Break our hearts over the sins in the church, oh God. Break our hearts over our silence, over the crimes against our children. Break our hearts, Lord God. Break our hearts. Break our hearts. Let us see the seriousness of the hour that we're in and run to you. Run and grab hold of the altar and weep before you until there are no more tears. Break our hearts, oh God. Even those who never knew, Lord God, that they were called to be intercessors. That the end time church would be intercessors. Regardless of the office that we function in, we will first and foremost be intercessors. You, who died for us, were an intercessor while you were here on earth weeping. Time and time again. Let us follow your example. Give my brothers and sisters, oh God, give each of us your tears, your groanings, your heartache over the sin that's in the church today. Will you do this for us? Release the anointing on my brothers and sisters' hearts. Release it. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. In your precious name. Amen. I will be sharing more on the new breed of believers. And life of an intercessor. In the days ahead. Thank you. I love you all. Thank you.